Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, it'd be a bit of an understatement to say we have changeable weather, and the skills needed to predict the weather are changing almost as much, from degrees in physics to advanced AI models. We're going to take a look at how you become a weather forecaster and how technology is pushing the boundaries of weather prediction. Well, I'm not going to do it because I'm joined by meteorologists with Metair and Linda Hughes and Principal Meteorological Officer Brendan Butler from Metair's AI transformation team, but Linda's sitting across from me here, so we'll start with you. For anyone out there, and we're only what, about a month out from people filling out CAO forms and the like, how did you get into weather forecasting? What did you, what course did you put down, and what was your entry route?
Well, I suppose lots of forecasters would have different routes to becoming a weather forecaster, so it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it the way I did it. So I always loved science, maths, so I suppose a love of sciencey subjects, geography, things like that would be kind of what you'd need to be interested in the beginning.
And did you have it in your head from early on, this is what I'd like to do?
No, I didn't. No, I wanted to do science. I mean, I always wanted to be a scientist or a teacher. That's what I used to tell my parents when I was small. It's very sensible. So I studied physics in NUIG, or University of Galway as it is now, and then I did a master's in applied meteorology in the University of Reading. So I suppose it was...
You must have known at that stage you were...
At that stage, this was the passion. Yeah, at that stage I knew. I mean, I'm from Galway. We talk about the weather on a daily basis. So, you know, I was always interested in the weather, especially the west of Galway. We got hit with everything pretty much first before the rest of the country. So I always had the interest in it. And then once I did the master's in meteorology, then I pretty much knew that was the route I was going to go down. Now, there's loads of different jobs in meteorology, so not necessarily ending up a broadcast meteorologist on RTE. I mean, that was never... You know, I didn't know that would happen to me, but delighted it did. But I took a pretty winding route through the meteorology career up to date.
Right. So just before we get into how you got here and what you do, what was the first time you went on air and delivered a weather forecast?
The first time, I actually started in here in 2020 in the height of COVID, which was an unusual time to start something like this. So I think it was maybe the July 2020, I think, was the first time I did a broadcast live on TV. So, I mean, the first one is very nerve-wracking, but since then it's been, you know, I don't really think about it too much.
You're still with us anyway.
Still here, yeah.
So has it changed even in that time?
In that time, it actually has, yeah. So, I mean, I'm 6 years with, nearly 7 years with Metair, and in that time, forecasting has even changed then, because all the time there's advances in technology. So we rely very heavily on computer models, weather forecasting models, to do our forecasting. And even in that time, the Irish high resolution model has changed in that time. So when I started, it was one model. We had 3 hourly updates on the information. And in the last year or two, it's been upgraded to every 1 hour with new data. So even in that space of time, it's changed a lot.
But so we've more data during the day, but has the level of, you know, forecasting, as in how far forward you can forecast the weather, has that improved over the years?
It has improved over the years. I suppose the nature of the atmosphere, I mean, the atmosphere will always be chaotic and, you know, difficult to predict. You have to bear in mind this is the whole globe. Weather in America affects our weather. It's a whole, you know, it's a continuous thing, and it's up, you know, way up through the atmosphere as well. It's a 3D picture of the whole globe. And if you think of the size of that, and we have to pinpoint, you know, a shower passing over Dublin. So it's, you know, it's always going to be difficult. But with more power in computing, you know, that always will improve how accurate we can be out to a certain...
Is it an art as much as a science in terms of how you can interpret the data that's coming at you?
Well, I mean... It is a science more so, you know, it is very scientific. But I suppose, and we will be talking about AI, you need the human part of forecasting as well, because you can, you know, you can get all this data and give it to people, but without a person looking through it and kind of knowing, you know, say I've been a forecaster now for 13 years. So I would have just human experience with seeing particular events happening. And that, you know, is used in forecasting on top of the data side of things.
All right. As I said at the outset, Brendan Butler, who's the Principal Meteorologic Officer from MetAireann's AI transformation team. You've been listening to that, Brendan. That 3D data picture that Linda was talking about there, is AI a help in reading that in greater detail or maybe spotting patterns that's harder for the human eye to spot?
Yes, Colm. The difference between the traditional numerical weather models and the AI models is the traditional numerical models, they use mainly kind of physics-based equations, while AI will be using data analysis to assess, you know, what is expected to happen. This happened before. If, you know, the state of the atmosphere was in a certain position, then the next elements that happened was X, Y, or Z. So it definitely complements our numerical weather predictions systems and our traditional models. And the advantages, I suppose, of AI over the traditional methods is the speed and efficiency. So at this stage now, we're matching the accuracy of the traditional models. And in some cases, we're beating some of the variables. But it's the speed and efficiency once the model is trained and the amount of compute power needed to produce those models.
So when you say trained, Brendan, is that sort of human programmed or is it self-teaching after a while?
So the fuel needed for AI models is data, and the meteorological world is full of data, so we're very lucky. So what I mean by trained is we use all our existing data sets, so our previous observations, our previous weather predictions, our reanalysis data, and we use that data to train a model to assess the state of the atmosphere and what the weather will be in the future based on past experiences. And it can also predict experiences that hasn't come across yet as well, which is an advantage. And it can do it much more efficiently than the traditional methods. So the traditional methods would use a supercomputer, would use a lot of compute power. Once the model is trained, using that data sets that we have, it's so much quicker, more efficient, and it lowers that, you know, compute barrier. And we're able, Linda mentioned that she is now getting 3-hourly and hourly updates. We'd be able to even provide more frequent updates.
So when you look at those apps or you listen to the weather forecast, when they predict that it'll rain at 2 o'clock, how accurate is that now, generally?
So this is one of the advantages that we can do with AI. So the thing that I'm really, really excited about AI is that we can now deliver science as a service much more easier to the public. So what I mean by that is we can now create personalized forecasts for individuals. So you mentioned the showers there. So there is one of the projects that we're working on with, we've put a significant investment into this, and we've set up at our IMSHRE Centre, which is our AI Meteorological Services Innovation and Research Centre in UCD. And in UCD, in that centre, we will be running 18 PhD projects. And one of those will be...
I'm going to have to... Sorry, Brendan, to cut across you, but we're bumping off the top of the hour here. Generally, AI just makes things faster and more efficient. But Linda shouldn't need to be worried about it.
No, Linda, as Linda said, you will always need the decision maker in the loop. You always need that human in the loop.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll have you back because it's a really, really interesting conversation.
Okay. No Linda droids coming up anytime soon. Okay, right. Coming up after 5, money for Mounjaro. Should the King Kong of weight loss drugs be free on the drugs payment scheme? Plus commuter chaos, Dublin bus delays raised in the Dáil.